Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's talk consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing real well. Thanks for asking. Well, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in today. And on the Voice of Yoga today, we're going to be talking about the Oracle in Delphi, Know Thyself and Nothing in Excess, along with the TLC Labyrinth. Well, I think we should first begin, Swami, about explaining what exactly is the Oracle in Delphi and the true meaning behind Know Thyself and Nothing in Excess.
The Oracle in Delphi was Know Thyself, Nothing in Excess. And I think there are a couple of ways of interpreting that, but coming back to what we talk about here is making clear distinctions between humans that are in the larvae state as opposed to humans that are in the adult state. Because know thyself, nothing in excess, when interpreted by humans in the larvae state, is oftentimes thought to be anything in moderation. And the true interpretation of know thyself and nothing in excess was, first of all, we had to know ourselves in the way that we are created and not just know ourselves in the way we do when we're left to our own devices. So part A of that equation is we use the chakra system, because in yoga physiology they use a three-body system. We have a physical body, we have a mental body, and we have a causal spiritual body. And essentially, to know yourself in the way that you're created, you have to understand that we have to separate from our attachment to the physical in order to reconnect to this part of ourselves that is spiritual. And so that's a big part of how we use the labyrinth. The nothing in excess part of it is how the labyrinth actually is able to allow us to distribute energy through these different dimensions of our makeup. But the nothing in excess part is really, it's not that anything in moderation. What it's really saying is that we must indulge ourselves in the nothing or the void or the concept of spirit. That's the part that you want to start to, I want to say, become addicted to.
So when I hear people talking about, I'm only going to have, one glass of wine with dinner instead of three glasses of wine, because, anything in moderation is okay. So they're using something physical to what you would say validate themselves and not using the void or the nothing to validate themselves.
Right. Yeah, see, the thing about the physics of spirituality is that your relationship with your divinity is a mutually exclusive relationship. It's not that, that you can jump from one ship to another back and forth. That there are different camps and there are different sources of sustenance and they also have different returns. And that's one of the misconceptions today with, a lot of the infiltration of what I call the New Age movement, a lot of the celebrity pseudo-spiritualism that's out there today. People think that indulgence is a viable path to this thing called God, to becoming spiritual, when in fact you know, that kind of keeps us stuck in this very limited sense of who we are. And so in order for us to really know ourselves in the way that we're created and not just know ourselves in the way we do when we're left to our own devices, there had to be some tampering. There had to be a departure from instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. We had to separate from our attachment to duality and prepare our bodies for the invocation of a different source of sustenance. You know, it's like we said in one of our earlier shows, this concept of a concealed deity is really the meeting point of all of our sciences and all of our religions. It's the meeting point of, you know, astrology and yoga. And so it's not a new concept. The void or the nothing, you know, is actually what quantum physics discovered, you know, and in my opinion proved mysticism with. Now, the whole thing is to become addicted to it is something that we have to make happen. And again, it's a very mutually exclusive relationship that you don't just intellectualize it. You know, that's one of the things we've been saying, that you literally rebirth your body in it. I think the term that was used in earlier times was the concept of sons of men and sons of God. That, you know, that your first birth, you know, our physical bodies were born and we were considered human, of a human nature. But then this second birth required a separation from our attachment to the tangible, the physical, and a reconnection to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And when we literally rebirth the body in that source of sustenance, your identity transcends the limits of a body. And so you have a more inclusive point of identification.
Okay, great. Well, I think now we should probably discuss with our for our listeners about the labyrinth, the development. How did it come about? What was the origin? And how do we use this tool?
Well, the labyrinth, the Cretan labyrinth, which is what they call the Seven Circuit Labyrinth, which I, in my, from my understanding, is one of the older labyrinths, comes out of sacred geometry. And the first time I was exposed to the labyrinth was at an astrology conference in Vermont, the Roots of Astrology conference, back in, I think it was around 1990, and there was a man there, his name is Sig Longren, and he had the labyrinth, and he described it as an ancient tool for balancing your chakras. And I remember just looking at it, and it was the first time I even just looked at it, I was like, oh, I know how this works. And so after spending the weekend and, you know, having him describe how they use it, when I came home, I actually put together or started to put together the system that we use now that corresponds with the two-part Greek philosophy, know thyself and nothing in excess. And for part A, know thyself, we use the chakra system. The diagram that we use for our logo is, you know, that's a template for how our minds work. Our chakra system are these energy converters that reside in the astral body. And the way it kind of works is that the pure energy of spirit passes through the lens of mind and then creates the manifested experience of life. And if you understand, you know, that you're a physical, you're a mental, and you're a spiritual being, and you understand how this ancient tool worked, then you can use it as a guide for creating your reality. Because it works on, you know, the simple formula that how we think is what we become, that energy follows mind. And so we use the labyrinth as a tool for dispatching energy into all of the different departments of our lives, because preoccupation with certain departments of life can oftentimes produce neglect to other aspects, or, you know, the simple fact that we don't identify with parts of our makeup, you know, produces neglect, which is the origins of all disease or dis-ease. And so the labyrinth provided us with the nothing in excess aspect to the two-part philosophy. And then, you know, you're probably more familiar than, say, for example, anybody that might be listening that never saw a labyrinth. But you could go to the website, and if you click on the site map and you go to labyrinth, it will bring you to the page, and it will show you the two diagrams that we're talking about. That the Know Thyself one is actually an image of what we call samadhi. And that in and of itself is a really interesting dynamic, because if you notice when you look at it, the outline of the individual is very distinct. You know, because a lot of, again, coming back to the celebrity pseudo-spiritualism, people think that your sense of self is the enemy, whereas in this image you have a very strong sense of self. The true mystic doesn't lose self-conscious awareness. You know, your sense of self is not the problem, it's a vehicle. But the image portrays that you have a strong sense of self, but you also have a expanded sense of awareness. It's the merging of your microcosmic orbit, your chakra system, with this macrocosmic orbit, you know, the universe. And so the concept of samadhi, total consciousness, is a more inclusive point of identification as opposed to a loss of self-conscious awareness. But when you put the fixed signs on the angles, which is Scorpio, Aquarius, Taurus, and Leo, the cusp of the first house, the fourth house, the seventh, and the tenth, the zodiac lines up in a way that the signs, the planets that are associated with your chakras will be in alignment with the signs that they rule in astrology. You know, so Saturn rules Capricorn and Aquarius, Jupiter rules Sagittarius and Pisces, Mars rules Scorpio and Aries, Venus rules Taurus and Libra, Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo, the Moon rules Cancer, the Sun rules Leo. The symbolism of when you put the fixed signs on the angles, interestingly enough, is found all over the planet. You know, that the Sphinx in Egypt was the head of the man, the body of the bull, the paws of the lion, the wings of the phoenix, which was the original symbol for Scorpio. The phoenix was the eagle-like bird, out of its own ashes would regenerate. And the four evangelists in Christianity are symbolized by the man, the bull, the lion, and the eagle. You know, Revelations in the Bible is all about this diagram, makes direct reference to all of the symbolism of it. So the information has been around for a long time. Now what we've basically done is, you know, again, we've resurrected it, and now we are employing it and we're using it. And then, you know, what we'll try and do now is explain how we convert Know Thyself into nothing in excess, and using the labyrinth as a tool in how to dispatch, you know, your intentions to different departments in your life.
That was a fantastic explanation. That was just really awesome. Now, let's take it one step further and let's correlate the paths of the labyrinth with the zodiacal signs and the houses, and just briefly walk us through that.
Yeah, the way that it works is that when you are in a path in the labyrinth, you are going to focus your attention on a department in your life. Now, the way that we break it down is that the path corresponds with a chakra. So if you look at the paths, if you notice in a labyrinth, in this particular labyrinth, you enter the labyrinth at the third path, which means that you're going to enter at your third chakra. The direction you're going in, whether you're going clockwise or counterclockwise, sunwise or moonwise, is going to determine the terminal of that chakra. So if you notice, you enter at the third path, you're going in a sunwise direction. So you're entering at Mars chakra, Manipuraka, at the solar plexus. You're going in a sunwise direction. The masculine side of Mars chakra corresponds with the zodiacal sign of Aries. Now, Aries, in what they call the natural zodiac, corresponds with your first house. That's the only thing that might be a little bit confusing about the instruction, because we're not really using the house system of this particular chart in the diagram, because in the chart, you're looking at the sixth house. But when we categorize and organize the information, we assign Aries to the first house because of the natural zodiac. And then, so you're going to enter at your first house, which is you, your physical body, how you see the world, how the world sees you. It's, you know, your muscular system. It's the attribute of being brave. And so the whole time that you're in this path, you're going to focus your attention on that department in your life. Now, the two ways that we can use the labyrinth, one is through self-inspection, and the other is more proactive with affirmation. So you can passively examine this particular department in your life, or you can proactively have imagery that you actually try and project and create changes in that department in your life.
Well, thank you. Before we move on to other paths, I just want to take a moment to hear a word from our sponsors. We will be with you, listeners, in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process, starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Well, welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Well, welcome back, Swami. Let's continue our conversation about using the labyrinth and the paths and how it relates to our to knowing ourselves.
Yeah, then, like we were saying, I mean, now as you go through this path, the whole thing is if you notice that certain paths in this labyrinth are going to be bigger than others. And as you move from your lower energy centers, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, you know, Muladhara, Svadhisthana, Manipuraka, that you're going from one dimension of your makeup to another. So we're going from physical to mental to spiritual awareness. And like we have said in earlier shows, these dimensions are on different time scales. That's the thing I found that was really interesting about the labyrinth, is that even though you may be trying to affect changes in something that is on a physical level, as you get to the higher centers, it doesn't require as much effort. So the duration of the amount of time that you spend in a particular path is going to be directly related to the chakra that is going to be associated with that department in your life. And so you know, we went over like the third path, which was where you enter the labyrinth. Then when you come to a switchback in the path, the whole key now is that you move to a different chakra. You move to in a different direction. So now you're going to move from the solar plexus to the navel, which is Jupiter chakra, Svadhisthana. And you're now going in a moon-wise direction. So the feminine terminal of Jupiter chakra corresponds with Pisces, which is your 12th house. And then, you know, everything that the 12th house represents. You know, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, the whole thing of a karma, undoing. You know, our ability to dissolve karmic seeds that haven't sprouted. It's the house of, you know, our connection to this dissolving force in the universe. The house of our religion. It is your endocrine system, and it is associated with the attribute of being kind. And so the whole time that you're in this path, you're going to focus your attention on something that is 12th house. And your rate of travel should be very consistent when you use the labyrinth. If you don't have an actual labyrinth, you can do the same exercise just by timing, counting your breaths. You know, one of the things, if anybody is interested, we do have the labyrinth video online available, you know, that can, and with a booklet that would describe and how you would use it or start to use it. But if energy follows mind, what you're basically doing now is you're learning an organized way of looking at yourself in the way that you're created. You know, that your paths that lead to the center will give you like one perspective of yourself. When you start to exit the labyrinth, it will give you the other view. But if energy follows mind, how we think is what we become, it becomes a really essential tool in being able to create your reality.
I'm glad you had mentioned about the labyrinth video and the booklet, the PDF booklet, available online. I also want to invite listeners, since you brought up the subject, that the Theory 2 class that we hold on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, there is labyrinth work done on Theory 2 with you, and they can access that through PowHow. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's also accessible. And in fact, that's where you can get the video to, you know, that you can have. You could download that to your phone or to your computer. And, you know, you could start using it right away. And the other thing is that in Theory 1, you know, when we get to concentration, you know, which is, again, that's your sixth stage of yoga, the labyrinth becomes an incredible tool as an exercise in concentration. And then, like what we talk about in Theory 1, you know, when does pranayama become pratyahara? When does pratyahara become dharana? When does dharana become dhyana? When does dhyana become samadhi? You know, that you're doing the same exercise, but they're experienced at a different level of consciousness and a different degree of awareness. It's like we talked last week, you know, it's this whole process of the mind opening, the identity transcending the limits of the body, that begins with this inner marriage, this union of the individual with the divine. And the benefits start to reveal themselves, you know, as your mind starts to transcend the limits of your body. Because even, say, for example, the concept of meditation, by definition, is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. there's a lot of preparatory work that has to be in place. You know, now today you can go for a meditation course or take a meditation class, you know, or do meditation with Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey online. When in fact, you know, it's just such a watered down misconception and misrepresentation of this true state of being. You know, that to truly meditate, it's not just, you know, taking a conscious mind that's the size of a quarter and putting it in a different coordinate of consciousness. You know, going to your happy place is not that hard. But to expand your mind beyond the limits of your body is going to require a lot of preparatory work, and it's going to require you to understand the physics of spirituality. You know, the like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. That's why, you know, this relationship that you have with your divinity is a mutually exclusive relationship. That's why the nothing in excess, you know, meant something very different to the human in the adult state than it does to the human in the larvae state.
Well, in closing, I would like to invite our listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow us on Pinterest, on Twitter, Facebook. And as I mentioned earlier, if you are interested in taking some classes, please visit PowHow. You can access our online classes that way as well. But, you know, to also keep those comments and questions and your curiosity is coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. Next week, we're going to be talking about the separation from mother and the union with the divine in celebration of Mother's Day. But before we sign off, any final thoughts or comments on the labyrinth?
Well, I think, you know, again, you know, learning how to use the labyrinth as a tool, you know, as an exercise in concentration to balance your energy centers, you know, because again, you know, if you do not program your mind with imagery, if you're not asking for what you want, you know, then you're passively letting life happen to you. You know, this is a very proactive exercise that, you know, one of the things when you start out using it is one of the questions that we ask is, what would your life look like if you were doing exactly what you want to be doing? You know, because coming back to our earlier shows, most people today are making most of their decisions based on what they think other people want them to do. We still haven't, like we'll talk about next week, we haven't separated from mother. We haven't separated from our infantile defense mechanisms, our need for approval, our need for external reinforcement. So the labyrinth becomes an excellent tool because, like we say, I mean, when we talked about karma, we said, you know, what isn't conscious is unconscious or karmic. And if you understand how your mind works, and you understand all of the different facets or petals of the mind, and you proactively start to program it with imagery, then you actually start to see how you can start to affect changes in your reality. The other important thing, of course, comes back to having your connection to the divine. You know, because thought is an energy, it's capable of producing effects, but it's measurable based on the amount of strength we emit it with. It's belief that gives thought the power of intention. So the two things that you have in place is one, you believe you can, and then the other is you're asking for what you want, and you're programming your mind on all of these different levels. So with that, you know, hopefully we'll tune in next week, and namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program today, The Voice of Yoga. I am Lisa Winton with Swami Jayananda, signing off. And have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.